Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Revelations, the book of Revelation, chapter 16. And we'll read from verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Let's remain standing, but let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see the handwriting on the wall so clearly, and we know that this nation has rejected thy message. And Lord, that leaves one thing, and that is judgment. We ask thee, Father, that before these judgments come upon this nation and overtake her, that you will take away your bride. And seeing how close the judgments are upon this earth, we ask that you would prepare our hearts for the soon going home. And we ask this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our beloved brother. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, Brother Brown told us that the judgments will come because this nation has sinned away their day of grace. You see, God always sends a warning before he sends judgment. From his sermon preached over here, about 20 miles over this way, in Middletown, Ohio, called Jezebel Religion, Brother Branham warned the people what would happen if they turned down the message. He said, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're going to, you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait and long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible said so. There'll be a famine in the last days, said the prophet, and not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be kept quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hidden away. Now notice he said the famine will not only be for a natural famine. Just as the depression will be not just a spiritual depression, but it'll be a natural depression as well. But also there'll be a famine for hearing the true word of God. So it's either we have plenty of false word of God going around, but the spiritual famine will not be for the false word. It'll be for the true word of God. So don't just think that the doctrine of William Branham, that people turning it down, they can get away with it. Not even those who claim to believe his message. They won't hear it. And because Lee Vail teaches it, and myself and others like-minded, they won't have nothing to do with it. And thus they will have a famine from hearing the true word of God. You see, it is not that there will not be a true word of God available, but they won't hear it. That's what it says, a famine for hearing. And yet we have more tape players. We have more tape recorders. We have more MP3 players. And more people have a complete library of the entire message. And yet, there'll be a famine. They won't be able to hear it. And hear means to understand. So the famine is that they won't have an understanding, even though they've got plenty of messages to go around. You see? They won't understand the true word of God. And thus they will starve to death spiritually speaking. They'll be so tied up into churchianity and it'll become a social gospel because they don't understand what this message is all about. On Wednesday evening, we looked into this judgment that Brother Branham called the oncoming depression that is coming upon the land, not only for this nation, but for the entire world. And we saw that it is part of the curse of Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43. Now, before I read, I want you to remember that the blessings that God promised that would come upon us and overtake us in verses Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 15, and which blessings this nation has been blessed with for the first 200 years, have now become the very curses that have already come upon this nation and are overtaking this nation, as we see in the headlines almost every day. In what other time outside of the depression of 1933? Now let's look at 1933. Why was there a depression in 1929 that lasted for 7 years and seven's completion? Because of the roaring 20s, they turned down God. They turned down the Pentecostal message. They turned down the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1906 Azusa Street. And when they did that, God sent a worldwide depression upon the world. Well, this hour, they didn't turn down the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They turned down the baptizer himself. You talk about a great depression coming upon this earth. They haven't got a clue how to fix it. They're all sticking their little fingers in the dike, hoping that they can hold it back. $1 trillion stuffed into this hole. $1 trillion stuffed into this hole. And they're making the depression even greater. Because man thinks that he can, there's a way that seems right to man, but the way thereof is a way of death. And they're completely, utterly destroying this nation as you know it. Now Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." What does it mean to hearken? It means pay attention to. Listen up, pay attention to. If they will not pay attention to, listen up and pay attention to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, to do, not just talk about it, not just have a good old time, but to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee. Well, from verse 16 to verse 43, there's quite a few curses that are to come upon this nation. But verse 43 says, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." If you'll notice that it's the immigrants in this nation are accomplishing more than those who are born here, because this is a promise from God. This church is a witness of that. We've got two brothers here that came from another country. They've got better jobs. They're doing better than most of the average Americans are. Why? Because they haven't been dumbed down by the school system that we have here. The godless school system. And notice that part of this curse in this nation will become a debtor nation. You know what our greatest export is right now? How many know what it is? No, selling our debt. Selling our debt. You know, we have an agreement with China that if you open up your markets to us, we'll open up our markets to you if you buy our debt. How long is that going to last when we can't afford even what they've got to sell at a tenth of the price of what it costs to make it here in America? You think they're going to continue to buy our debt? Our debt is a number one national, whatever you call it, market. Trillions of dollars, $10 trillion in debt. And that doesn't include all the credit card debt by its people. That's our government. That's their debt. Notice verse 44. "He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail." This country, before 1956, was a lender nation. We borrowed money to here, there, and everywhere else. Now we're having to borrow from third world countries. So you see, the indebtedness is part of the curse that God spoke of. And what is strange is that this nation claims to be a Christ-fearing, Bible-believing nation. But so is Israel. And look what happened to them. The indebtedness is part of the curse because the people are too proud and will not put God first. They have to do it their way, their own way. And God just sits back and says, "Okay, you want your way? Okay, have it your way. But you will pay through the nose for turning me down, turning my word down." And don't tell me just because you're in this message that it doesn't include you. We all have the tapes, and Brother Brown taught us that we should not go into debt for anything other than a house mortgage and perhaps a car. But he also warned us to pay them off as soon as possible. And he said, and if you owe, he said, he gave us the example when he was a kid and had that bad accident. You remember when the gun blew up in his face? And he said, if I can just pay you 25 cents each paycheck, I'll come by. If I can't pay it, I'll come by and tell you. That's the example that we had. So we have no excuse. But the lender wants you to be his servant. And so he says, I have cheap money, cheap interest rates, and like a narcotic, it gets you to try it and taste it. And like heroin, you do just one time and you're addicted to it. Kids in college with $20,000, $40,000 in debt on credit cards. Buying their meals, doing everything on a credit card. It's free money, they think. Is it? Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall, number one, come upon thee. Number two, shall pursue thee. They're not going to let you go. And number three, they shall overtake thee till thou be destroyed. You can see how the debt has come upon thee in this country. Back, Brother Brown was talking about back in the 60s. He said, we're $40 billion in debt. It'll take 40 years to pay it off. Where are we at today with $10 trillion in debt? It'll never be paid off. And it shall pursue thee. And it shall overtake thee until thou be destroyed. This nation is in the process of total annihilation, total destruction. It'll come financially first, and then the bombs will fly. And why is this? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. Oh, so we've got to serve him with joyfulness. Can't be grumps all the time. Huh? And with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Well, if you only knew how hard it was to take care of this long hair. Doesn't sound like joyfulness and gladfulness to me. I'd rather have your long hair than what I've got. I'd rather have to take time every day to have, well, I wouldn't want your long hair on me as a man, but I'd sure like to have Ron's hair or Derek's. They've got a good crop of hair. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of these things. So these people were already blessed. Blessed abundantly. But they had so much blessings, they became increased with goods, but didn't know that they had become naked and blind and didn't know it. This is Laodicea. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, which the Lord shall send against thee. One, in hunger. You're going to serve him in hunger. There's your famine, naturally speaking. And two, in thirst. And three, in nakedness. And four, in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Wow. Laodicea, rich, full of, increased with goods, but don't know that they're blind, miserable, naked. Don't know it. All of the goods, all the materialism that a credit card can buy. All the increased goods that a loan can buy. Is it too loud? Maybe you'll get the message. And he shall put a yoke upon your neck until he have destroyed thee. And didn't Laodicea say we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? But what was God's answer to them? Don't you know that you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked, and you don't even know it? Look at the condition. Look at the hour we live in. You can go back like we did Wednesday night and see the pictures from the first depression. And the way that people lived, and the housing, and the condition of the houses. They didn't have insulation like you have today. They had cracks in the walls. They stuffed them with newspapers or whatever they could find. Today we've got everything, and yet we have nothing, unless we have Christ. From Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Ram said, now we're coming down to the last plague, the last thing. God said, I'm tired of fooling now. I'm going to give the last plague, and I want you to notice the last plague was death. Now we've had earthquakes, we've had wars and rumors of wars, we've had tidal waves, as Jesus said we would, the sea roaring, man's heart failing for fear. That's the number one disease, is heart failure. Fear, perplex of time, distress between the nations, horseless carriages in the broadways, all these things fulfilled. But the last plague is death, not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking. Death spiritually in the church. You notice it wasn't the sons' spiritual death. Excuse me, it was amongst the sons. Notice it was amongst the sons' spiritual death. The church has got more members than it ever had, thriving better than it ever did, and yet the weakest in spirit that it ever was. That's true. That's just like it was in Egypt. I hate to say this, but let's look around in this nation at the young men. Because this spiritual death came upon the sons. And you don't see too many young men who are spiritually discerning. That's because God doesn't have grandchildren, not even in this message. He has sons and daughters, but not grandchildren. So if you think you will make it based on mom and dad, you better think again. My greatest fear is for the young growing up in this message who have not been born again, but think they are because they go to a message church. Because they say that, well, we believe God sent a prophet. Oh, they might be able to quote what Brother Branham said. They might be able to even talk it. But to feel it in the depth of their heart and to know without a shadow of a doubt God is their loving Father, they haven't got a clue. Brother Branham might have said, well, he said, we don't go by experience, but we go by the Word of God. He might have said that. But that doesn't do away with other things that he said, like the new birth is an experience, and anyone who goes through a birth will know that they've been born. But the children have been lulled into thinking that they are born again just because they profess to believe the message. Listen, friends, the devil believes and he trembles, and he certainly is not born again. The problem is that many who claim to believe this message cannot read it. They can't even read their Bibles, much less the message. Let me give you an example. In the Church Age book, Brother Branham said, and to every age we hear the same truth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. But only a Spirit-filled man can hear the revelation for the age. No other one can. No, sir, they cannot, because that is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 6-16. All right. Now, some who misread this say that this says that you must be Spirit-filled first in order to hear the Word. As though that your ears are what hears it. But Brother Brown taught us that to hear means to understand it. Therefore, you will never understand the message unless you're born again and Spirit-filled. Brother Brown quotes the Church Age book. I'm quoting Brother Brown in the Church Age book. If the Spirit wasn't inside, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation if you heard it every moment of the day. So he's telling you two things of hearing. He says if you hear it every hour of the day, you can play those tapes 24/7. But if there's nothing in here to catch it, you'll never understand it. Amen. That was a sign of the indwelling Spirit in the days of Paul. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the Word, received it, and lived by it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as a carnal man. Put a wrong interpretation to it, and they went up. Why do you think there's 90-some percent of the message don't even understand the Godhead? And Brother Branham was so specific about it. They're not born again. You can't be born again and misunderstand this message. Amen. It's very, very plain, very simple. So notice how he distinguishes the difference between hearing it with your ears only and hearing it as an understanding. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the Word, received it, and lived by it. They understood what it meant. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men, put a wrong interpretation on it, and they went into sin. And I don't care how many of their parents followed Brother Branham and knew him personally. It has nothing to do with it. I don't care who they have for a pastor or a teacher. It has nothing to do with it. So young people who hear this message over the internet, you had better pray that God finds you worthy to receive His Spirit. And let me tell you one thing. God will never place the Spirit in an unclean vessel. Clean it up. You say, how do I clean it up? God wants a vessel that's sanctified by the washing of water by the Word. David said, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word. Not just hearing it on a tape. Not just coming to church and talking a social gospel. But hearing the Word. And abiding in it. From Israel at Kadesh Barnea, Brother Branham said, notice, then God, after fixing Moses, getting him ready, sent out the signs, and the last sign that we taken last night was death. And we found out that spiritual death in the church, the last plague now, church drying up, blowing away, that's right, we're living in a horrible time, how that the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out. It's dying time, letting the blood get off the front door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Is our house a temple of God? Is your bedroom a place where you feel like God could come in at any time? He could be there. Let me tell you something. The all-seeing eye watches everything you do, everything you say, everything you eat and drink, everything you watch. It's time we prepare for going home. From God's provided ways, and Moses took God's provided way when they were down in Egypt. How are they going to get out? God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart, but he said, now, I'm going to make a way of escape because I'm going to send death over the land. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? How does God harden anybody's heart? He brings on a trial, then he lets the trial go away, gives you a period of time to cool down. Then he brings another trial, then he gives you a period of time. Things to soften up. Again, it's like hardening metal. You heat it up, that's a trial. Then you cool it. It's now harder than it was before. You heat it again, you cool it. Heat it again, cool it. Heat it again, cool it. Until one day, you can take a metal bar and just snap it. It's so hard, it becomes brittle. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart through 10 different plagues over a period of time. And God is going to harden this country because we've had catastrophe after catastrophe. We've had financials ups and downs. We've had airplanes and we've had all kinds of things happen. Brother Vail said the other day, this thing could last another 5 years at the most. 2 to 5 years. This depression that we've now entered into, these hardships that we have, packing your back like slaves because they got to lay off everybody, right, Steve? You want to be thankful that they at least give you some straw with your mortar. You know what I mean? Be thankful at least you do have a job. But remember with Israel, they took away the straw to hold the mud together. And they still had to make bricks that could hold together. They had to go get their own straw. So they had another task on top of it. It's coming, brothers. But it's not going to happen overnight. God's not that easy on His kids. Jesus suffered a long time. 3.5 years of rejection. From God's provided way, Brother Brown said, God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. But he said, now I'm going to make a way of escape because I'm going to send death over the land. Say, listen here, something striking. Watch, plague after plague after plague, but the last plague fell was death, just before the deliverance. Notice it, how striking it is today. Jesus, there'll be perilous times shall come, men's hearts would fail. How he said that they'd be distressed between the nations, sea roaring, tidal waves that never been heard of before, bursting forth in the sea. Didn't we see that in the last couple of years? all these tsunamis, destroying entire coastlines, thousands of people dying. How that in all these things, signs would be coming to pass, just like it was in the days of Noah, it would be again. How marvelous, but remember, the last plague that fell was death. And the last thing, God has given us a warning after warning after warning after warning. Now the last thing that comes is death, spiritual death. The churches are dying spiritually. Even in the message, they become lodges, social clubs. Instead of coming and getting on your knees before God and praying to God to fill you with His Spirit, get you ready for going home. Notice that the last plague is spiritual death, and we can see throughout the nation that this plague has already set in the churches. But remember also that the spiritual comes before the natural. The thought must come before the action. And therefore, the spiritual death must take place before the physical destruction of flesh must begin. Look, the Jews rejected Christ, their salvation. So God let Rome destroy the Jews. Spiritual death, the rejection of Christ, before the physical death. Titus coming in. Those who were left in Jerusalem in 70 AD, 1 million people died. You talk about a Holocaust. And many of them ate their own children to stay alive. And then they perished anyway. And so the church in this hour has rejected Christ among us, the same pillar of fire that led Israel, that Israel rejected. And God let that generation die off in the wilderness, is the same pillar of fire in His Son that their children rejected. And God let Titus come in and destroy them. Now today the church so-called have rejected the same pillar of fire, and therefore there is nothing left for them but judgment. And what about the rest of those vials? There were 7 vials exposed during the 7 church ages. And to think, if 37 to 40 million people were killed just because the church rejected the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how much greater will the judgment be for rejecting the baptizer himself? 1918, 40 million people died from the Spanish influenza. Because they rejected the message of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18. Don't have time to read it. But we see the great whore, the Vatican herself. And who has committed fornication with all the rich men and kings of the earth. And we see her destruction comes in but 1 hour by atomic fire. And so we know by a vindicated prophet that God has raised up communism to do this very deed, to avenge the blood of all the martyrs of Jesus Christ. So when I read an article the other day by the chairman of the National Communist Party in the United States concerning their gloating over the election where they go for their man Obama into the White House, I can say, okay, God's purpose is being fulfilled. Let me just read you this article from the National Chairman of the Communist Party, USA, written February 6th, just last week. Just a few days ago. It's called A New Era by Sam Webb, National Chairman, Communist Party, USA, 2-6 of 2009. I was standing on the Washington Mall on Inauguration Day alongside nearly 2 million other people and proudly watched the first African American take the oath of office in our nation's history. That alone made the day deeply memorable, joyful, and historic. But I couldn't help but think, and I'm sure that millions of others had the same thought, that the transfer of power from Bush to President Obama not only tore down a barrier that once was thought near impenetrable, but also signified the fading away of one era and the beginning of another. It was hard not to think on that cold day in our nation's capital that the worst of the past 30 years of right-wing extremist rule is behind us, and that an era of progressive change is within reach, no longer an idle dream. They call themselves a progressive party. So the Communist Party is very happy that Obama is in office. And he's continuing on and is in the Bush communist ordeal of taking over the companies. Well, frankly, I could care less about that because they weren't very good stewards of the companies they had. When they took, in this so-called bailout, and took $18 billion and divided by 120-some of these executives so they could have bonuses for destroying their companies, it shows you insanity is on the rise. From question and answers on the shield, Brother Branham said, "You have said many times that communism was raised up by God to serve his purpose as King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, where did communism fit into the picture that we'll finally do? How does it wind up? Many scholars believe that in the kingdom of the north, Gog and Magog, mentioned in the scripture, goes down against Israel. I can't make out just what this is. I believe of the same, some of the tapes taken, you said that it would finally drop, that communism would finally destroy Catholicism or the Vatican by an explosion. Is this right?" Yes. Revelation 16, you find it. Revelation 18 and 8 and 12. If the person is here and wants to take this piece of paper on that, you can look it right up. Yeah, see? "Alas, alas, that great city, for in 1 hour she has come to her end. You see, the merchants and everything here that bought her merchandise, it will be." That's right. And just forget about communism. See, it's nothing in the world but a bunch of people that's nothing but barbarians, that's ungodly. It's a system. Let me show you something just to show you how simple it is. Why, there's only 1% of all Russia that's communism. They need a messenger. 1%. Then 99% of them are still on the Christian side. 1%. Now, how can 1% control 99%? That ought to explain it to you there. If God didn't permit it, why, they'd be thrown out long ago. So you see what's happening. God permitted it. This nation has gone communist. Brother Branham said they would because God allowed it. What happened in this nation would not have happened if she were a true Christian nation. So when Obama said that this nation is no longer a Christian nation, he was absolutely right. It is not a Christian nation. It's a heathen, fun-loving, entertainment-seeking nation. So he's right. Because if they were a Christian nation, they certainly would not have voted for such a vile and murderous man that would vote to have babies killed even after a botched abortion had been performed. In other words, they performed the abortion by trying to kill the baby by strangulation or whatever method, and the baby has enough intestinal fortitude to make it through those attempted murders. And then when the baby is outside the mother's womb, his vote would have allowed them to kill that living, breathing baby outside the womb, which is nothing but murder. I don't care if it's in the womb or out of the womb, it's still murder. And people call him compassionate. How compassionate is that? And how sick can you be? No wonder God gave them what they wanted. And by getting their heart's desire for change, this nation would be destroyed, and by the very thing that they asked for. It's always been that way, and people will not read their Bibles to learn, so they're doomed to repeat their mistakes over and over again. And Brother Branham said that communism would take over this nation, and it has. From his sermon, God Identified by His Characteristics, Brother Branham said, "Communism has wormed the country, and preachers are gone after communism instead of Christ." It's just looked like go out and trying to condemn that. Why not see the hour that we're living in? Communism, we ain't got, oh my, I ain't afraid of communism. It's the coming of the Lord. It's going to catch you unprepared is what it is to the church. Now let everybody, let all America turn to God and watch what happens to communism. You have to find the disease to get the cure. The reason why this nation turned to communism because they turned away from Christ. So let whatever happen, happen. Because our focus should be on the coming of the Lord and getting ready to get out of here. From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, "Now to show you that it's communism and not them colored people, that's how communism has always come in to take over. They do that in every nation. That's how they do it. Getting you fighting amongst one another, revolution. Then they take it without a shot. They don't want to blow up this country. They want it. They can wormweed it in. And now they can see a case of doing that and know that that's the old revolution was and thought they'd just start another revolution. To prove my point that it's very clear, after they've gotten integration, they have it now legally, lawfully, they're causing more trouble now than they did in the first place. See, it shows that it's communism and not precious souls that's been born of the Spirit of God." Now, according to Accuracy in Media, an article entitled "Communistic Party Backs Obama," AIM column by Clifford Kincaid, July 3rd of 2008. He says, it was a well-known fact that Barack Obama was the favorite of the Communist Party of America. Joel Fishman, the chairman of the Communist Party, USA, CPS USA, Political Action Commission, in a column titled, Big Political Shifts Underway, Fishman says that Obama could lead a landslide defeat of the Republican ultra-right this November, and that he is ready to listen to the left and progressive voters backing him. Fishman makes it clear that the CPUSA is part of his coalition. Meanwhile, admitted CPUSA member Alan Mackey writes on the official Barack Obama website in the community blog section under Obama 08 banner, has mentioned the unmentionable, that is the role of CPUSA member Frank Marshall Davis in mentoring Obama during his formative high school years in Hawaii. So the guy was trained up to be a communist. And yet, where was your media during all this? They hid it all. So what does it mean now that America has elected a communist-leaning president? Simply this: communism was raised up to destroy the Vatican. The prices of capitalism got too greedy and blew it. The princes of capitalism got too greedy and they blew it. And now the Vatican is happy that the stocks are being depressed so they can buy them with their gold. If the Vatican can make the gold go up to 2,000, maybe 4,000 an ounce, and make the stocks go from 100 down to $1 an ounce, or $1 per stock, just think how many more stocks they can buy. Then they'll own the whole thing. They'll own your company, and you'll be working for the Vatican. So what does this have to do with America? And they're turning down the message of God and thus accepting communism instead. Well, communism is a totalitarian rule where only 1% run everything and the rest of the population sit by in fear, afraid to speak up. So the people hated George Bush so much for turning the country into a pawn of the New World Order and thus a pawn of the Vatican that they sold themselves right into the hands of the totalitarianism. And the joke is on them because they will pay for it. But God will take his bride up before it gets too bad. As far as I'm concerned, when it is whether it's 1% who run communism or 1% who run capitalism, it's all the same. They have their own set of rules while they impose another more stringent set of rules upon the rest of the people. Our problem then is not who is in office, but what our focus should be is our problem. From his message, What Shall We Do With Jesus? Brother Bram said, what did he do? Jesus tell them? He said, you can discern the face of the skies, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. And oh, I don't say this for Phoenix, but I say it for the everywhere that it wants to go. You blind Pharisees, how can you, spending millions of dollars, you can discern communism, but the word of God have vindicated for the hour you cannot discern? You are crucifying it again. You know all about communism. If you knew your Bible, you know that the thing's got to happen. That's not interesting to me. I hate communism. I hate anything against God. But what is my interest is this: the church being ready for this hour, for the going away of the bride. Discern the face of the skies, but the signs of the time you cannot discern. And from a sermon, We Have Seen a Star, he says, why is communism coming? Why is the world being swallowed up? Why could 1% of Russia, that's all it is, communism, 99% still Christian, 1% of Russia controlling the rest of the world almost, the Eastern world, communism? Why? Why could it do it? The Bible said it would do it. He's got the answer. But you see, now we're trying to fight this and that. And the very thing that God sent for us to watch, we don't see it. So where's everybody's focus? From Uniting Time and Sign, Brother Brown said, nations are breaking for the time now that we see that they're supposed to do this. We're in the process of national disturbance. We see the nations are breaking relationships. Year by year, we find this nation being swallowed up in communism. This one being swallowed up in communism. And right here in our own nation, it's honeycombed with communism. And it will take over. There you go. See, it'll do it. No way of stopping it. Why? The same reason that you couldn't stop Titus. The people have rejected God and his word. Yes, sir. So they're going to do it. And we see it right in process now. And from Uniting Time and Sign, Brother Brown said, communism has to rise. These other things has to rise. And the church has to unite itself out yonder in the nations out there for the World Council of Churches. And the bride has to unite itself under the Word of God. In order to do that, God has sent down the heavenly signs and things that prove to the church that hour, what hour that we're living in. So you see, because the people have rejected the mercy of God, God gave them via His message. They have turned to something to be their salvation. And they chose communism for this hour because this is the hour for it. Notice how they talk about Obama, almost like he's a Messiah. They're trying to pass a new rule now that his picture will be in every school in America, every classroom. Reminds me of Stalin in Russia. But just remember, everything will perish but God's word. So communism will perish, but God's kingdom will never perish. Now let me read a few more statements from Brother Branham concerning why it had to come this way. From trumpet will give an uncertain sound. Or trumpet gives an uncertain sound. He said, but look, but the same communism will have an end. Communism will come to its end. But the word of God has no end because it had no beginning. So then I ask, or I say, so let us not then forget our focus. And let's not be focusing on what's happening in Washington. For it is a fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28. And this nation, having turned down the voice of God to this generation, is now under the curse of God. And what are they going to do about it? They can't do nothing about it. Because it not only is coming upon them, but it's pursuing it and it's overtaking. And having turned down the voice of God to this generation is now under the curse of God. And what they are doing is for one purpose, and that is to destroy this nation. Even though they think that they're trying to save it. But they do not want what made this nation a great nation. They want a nation without Christ, and in so doing, they have determined to end this nation for good. And it will be destroyed by Russia, as prophesied by Brother Branham, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. From the indictment, Brother Branham said, look at the scandal in England. Look at the scandals here. Look, the whole thing becomes a house of prostitution. Why? Why is it? Why did Russia become communism? Because of the vulgar and dirtiness of the non-power of the Catholic Church. That's exactly why this nation is taking over communism in a federation of churches and joining itself up with the Catholic Church, which communism and Catholicism will unite together, you know. And here they are doing it. Why? Because they have rejected the gospel that separates them and makes them a different people. I believe communism took over Russia to get rid of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Sure. Notice, Brother Brown said, that's exactly why this nation is taking over communism in a federation of churches and joining itself up with the Catholic Church, which communism and Catholicism will unite together. You know. And here they're doing it. Why? Because they rejected the gospel that separates them and makes them a different people. But although communism and Catholicism join together to wage war against the Lamb, they will be destroyed by the brightness of His mouth, according to Scripture, and they will be thrown into the bottomless pit. From the first seal, Brother Branham said, what made communism rise in Russia? Because of the impurity of the Roman Church and the rest of them. They took all the money there was in Russia and starved the people to death and gave them nothing instead of living, instead of live just like the rest of the world. The church took the money and the elite from all the people and left them nothing. And that's what turned the people toward communism. And that is why the people voted in communism in this country. The rich man and the church have taken all their money and left them with nothing, not even hope. It's all talk, 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 with no Holy Ghost action. And James said in 2 in verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so the church has been just talk. Talk, 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 and talk is cheap. And so the people turn to something else, and they turn to communism. From Uniting Time and Sign, Brother Branson, now the Jews united themselves against Jesus, against his messiahship, and his messianic message. We see the same thing now happening, just the same. Communism is uniting to destroy the church, and the only way that is, after the church has united itself to the Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, to deny and destroy the message, the Word. They have turned down the Word, the churches have. They cannot accept it because it's against their denominational creed. No matter how many pillars of fire would hang in the midst of the people, or how many things would be foretold and happen, and all the great signs that he promised of the last days, they cannot do it. So we see it is imperative that God's word be fulfilled. So don't be angry. Just pray for all those backsliding in this message into a social gospel, that they may be lifted up into Christ once again before it's too late. And pray for all the second and third generation following the message, that they may be born again and filled with the Spirit of God, because only those that are Spirit filled are going in the rapture. If the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ be in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. If you don't have that Spirit in you, you won't be quickened. Now we know that the people everywhere are almost entirely insane. People thinking that Obama is really going to pay for their college tuition. He's going to pay for their car loans and pay for their rent on their apartment. Listen, I've heard him on the radio. Oh, he's going to pay for my college. He's going to pay for my medicine. He's going to pay for my school. He's going to pay for my rent. He's going to pay for my apartment. Isn't that wonderful? They're idiots. They're insane people. And on top of that, we have a group in control of our government who can't even add, who are mathematically challenged. Obama claimed there were 57 states in the United States. 57. Did you know there's 7 that we don't know about yet? Maybe he's counting Canada, Mexico, and Honduras, and all those Latin American countries. And Pelosi, Speaker of the House, just 2 weeks ago, she told Congress that if they didn't vote for the stimulus package, that there would be 500 million people unemployed in this country. So where are they going to get the other 200 million that aren't here yet? From Mexico and Canada? Honduras and all the Latin American countries? There ought to be a competency test for people who have the right to vote. And there ought to be a truth test for a person who runs for political office. This nation has sunk so low that they continue to elect pathological liars, and the people fall for it every election. I've always believed, as the early founders of this nation did, that the requirement to vote is that you be an adult who owns property, a landowner. Because if you're a landowner, then you're a contributor to the economy, and thus you have responsibilities. But these people who are on welfare are only concerned with more welfare, so their vote can be bought off with idle promises, which are never kept anyway. But anyway, that's about as much political talk as you're going to get from me. Let's keep our focus on what Christ is doing in this hour. Because Brother Branham said, from knoweth it not, he said, the mental faculties of men, they can't make decisions. I'm not a politician. Neither Democrat or Republican. They're all filthy. I'm for one kingdom, and that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's all. But how in the world did you ever see a bunch of puppets like we got up there now? Like that bunch of Texans we got in there. Why, they say whatever the people want. If they want communism, we'll give them communism. That was Johnson. If they want integration, we'll give them integration. Want segregation, we'll give whatever. Where is men? Oh, God. That's like the pulpit. Where is men? Men that stands for a principle. Where is women that stands for a principle? Where is a church that stands for a principle? I ain't got a nickel's worth of time for a wishy-washy, give-in, compromising spirit. But even in the message, we should have the highest standards of all the people on earth because of the example that we had in the life of William Branham standing before us, living his life. And yet we have people, laity, and even ministers who won't stand up for right and wrong. They have no conviction anymore. And it's all become a political, polluted sinkhole. When a man who was in their circle pulls a criminal act, they turn their heads. They walk the other way. They do nothing about it. Just like the German people. When the Jews were being incarcerated and eliminated, they just said, well, we got two cars in the garage. We got food. Things are going well. And they turned their hearts away from the atrocities that were happening in their land. And you don't think it won't happen in this country when they start eliminating the foolish virgin who are left behind? If ministers of God who teach this message won't stand up for their convictions, then what about the average citizen in this country when the squeeze comes down to a persecution? But God will hold every man responsible for what he does and what he doesn't do. You can be sure of that. The Bible said that either they accuse or they excuse one another. But God is sovereign, and believe me, he will stand, and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an account of our stewardship of what God has given to us. From leadership, Brother Bram said, can you see the insanity of this age? Look how it's gone. There's no reasons among the people no more. It's gone. Whereas even leaders, look at our president. If they want communism, let them have it. Whatever the people want, let them have it. Where is our Patrick Henrys, our George Washingtons? Where is our leaders that can stand for a principle? We haven't got them no more. Where is our churches, our ministers? We'll take the people and just our prohibition or come in and join the church and do this or have a little sensation or something. Where is those men of God, those prophets that stand out and dare to defy all the things of the world? Where is those men of integrity? Where are they? They're so soft and through intellectual conceptions and things till they're not here no more. Oh God, have mercy upon us. I like the way Brother Branham spoke. And from thirsty. Now we find how deceiving it is today. Matthew 24:24. Jesus said in the last days that the two spirits would be so close alike until they would deceive the very elected if it was possible. How close? How? What a deception of right and wrong we have today. Even in our government, in our politics, we haven't even got a man that we could put up as a politician that'll absolutely stand up for what he thinks is right. Where is our Patrick Henrys and George Washingtons and Abraham Lincolns of today? Just as our president said there. The way, if they want communism, they can have it. Whatever they want, whatever the people want. If that ain't a man that won't speak his conviction, a man will stand on a principle. That'll stand on what's a principle. Just want to go the way of least resistance. And that's the way that the people's got in the church. They go the way of least resistance. Oh, I better not say anything because the pastor might get mad. Well, I better not say anything because Elder so-and-so might get upset with me. Well, I better keep my mouth shut because even though the Scripture says it shouldn't be done this way, they're doing it this way. But who am I? I'm just one of the church members. Listen, you have every right to come to me if you see where I'm off the word or if I say something that's not correct according to the Scripture. You have a right to come to me and say, brother, the Scripture says this here too. I've told you before, my children have a right in my home. If I do or say or act in any way that's not according to this Bible, they have a right to come to me and say, Dad, the Scripture says this. I don't tell my daughters, you do it because I say so. Or you do it because it's my house. I don't believe in that. You do it because the Word of God says so. That's our absolute. My absolute is the same absolute as my daughter's and my wife. Same absolute as what should be yours. the Word of God. We haven't even got a man that we could put in as a politician that'll absolutely stand up for what he thinks is right. Where is the Patrick Henrys and George Washington and Abraham Lincolns of today? Just as our president said here the other day, he said, well, if the people want communism, they can have it. Whatever the people want. If that ain't a man that won't speak his conviction, a man will stand on principle, that'll stand on what's a principle? Just want to go the way of least resistance, and that's the way that the people's got in the church. They want to come join church, and they say, oh, well, that's it, I've joined church now. You're trying to satisfy that great holy thirst that God put in you, that control tower, trying to turn you to the right thing, and you try to satisfy it with joining church and quoting a creed or something like that? When it's nothing but the very presence and filling of God Himself in your life that'll satisfy that. So you had better get your focus entirely on Christ and the going home of the bride, because that's all we're going to have left here before too much time has passed. When their eyes were opened, Brother Branham said, ministers ought to be busy about that and seeing what the Scripture promised today. I'm not looking for taking over of communism. I'm looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming kingdom, and the millennium to set in. Not even absolutely interested in communism or none of their isms or your religious isms, none of it. I'm interested in Jesus and Him only. Get the people to see Him, that He's here, proving Himself here, showing exactly what He said it would be in the last days. And from uniting time and sign, He said the Jews united themselves against Jesus as their Messiah. Therefore, we see that what happened. We see the same thing now. Communism uniting to destroy the church after the church has united in the World Council of Churches and trying to destroy the message, the Word of God. They try to get rid of it. The only thing they can do is draw themselves a council because that they are separated. A little group here, the Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterians, Church of Christ, so forth like that. They can't do nothing because this one will be against this one, this one against this one. Their doctrine is just as contrary to the other one, different from East as from West. So they can't do it, but once together under one big head, they got it. They got it then. And from is your life worthy of the gospel, Brother Branham said, now, if Russia had accepted the Pentecostal blessing 75 years ago, when the Holy Ghost fell in Russia, they wouldn't have had communism today. Now, 75 years ago, they had a great revival in Russia. God come among them, and they had a great revival way into Siberia. And what did they do? They rejected it. And today, the country is gone, and the churches can't have church only under permission. And they are doomed into judgment and has gone off on this wild tantrum of communism. Sold out to the devil. 50 years ago, the Holy Ghost fell in England. Just after that came George Jeffreys and F.F. Bosworth and Charles Price and Smith Wigglesworth, these great warriors of faith, 50 years ago, and offered England the Holy Ghost revival. But what did they do? They laughed at them, put them in jail, called them crazy, thought they had lost their mind, and the church refused the people to come hear them. And they healed the sick, cast out devils, done great works. And because that England as a nation rejected the gospel, her sins is known throughout all the world. There's hardly a more of an apostate nation in all the world, even including Roman France, than England. She's a mother of apostasy right there. Finney and many of the great men preached in the Haymarket, and Charles G. Finney and Wesley and on down, and she turned it down. And you see what happened to England. I tell you what, I don't want to get too political on this, but the whole family is a bunch of inbreeds running the country over there. And they talk retarded. They act retarded. They look retarded. And the whole world says, oh, but they're a prince. They're a prince. A prince of what? Just one more time, Lord Brother Branham said. Today in Russia, communism has taken the world. What's the matter? It's somebody that's got the audacity to stand up under conviction, though it's wrong. Only 1% of Russia is communist, 1%. 99% is still so-called Christian, free. But they haven't got the IQ of the gospel. They haven't got what it takes. Though they got the money, and they got all of this, but they haven't got the courage and the grace. What God needs in Russia is one man anointed with power of God, with the power of the Holy Ghost. May God raise up that man. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We know it's sometimes hard and cutting. But Father, we see the world falling apart. And Lord, now we just commit ourselves to get ready for the going home, because that's all we have left. He said that the curses would come upon them, would pursue them, and would overtake them until they be destroyed. So we realize, Father, that the curses of Deuteronomy 28 have come upon this nation. They are swiftly pursuing this nation and have overtaken this nation. There's one thing left for this nation, and that's the total destruction, the total annihilation of this nation to fulfill the vision of 1933, that seventh vision. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us be ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What's the number is this? Huh? Okay. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. One more time. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant.